This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Good evening, and you're listening to Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9. Femme Fatale is a discussion and dissection of the issues facing women in life, health, relationships and the arts. You're joining Kat and Gemma.
Hello.
Hi, Kat. And tonight in the studio we have Bridget Lewis. We're going to be interviewing her. She's a novelist who wrote an amazing book. It's a lesbian erotic novel called Rubbing Mirrors. Hi, Bridget.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks so much for coming on.
My pleasure. Welcome. Thanks for having me.
No problems. Bridget is a PhD graduate, casual academic and full-time writer. She's also a spoken word artist and does this really cool thing called poetry bombing, which we don't know what it means, but we cannot wait to find out.
So we'll be talking to Bridget about that after the next track. During the show, you can text us at 0427-JOY949. You can Facebook us as well. If you just go to the Joy website and click on our page, there's a link. If you've got a smartphone, you can use the Joy app, or you can email us at femmefatale@joy.org.au. That's FEMMEFATALE.
Good evening. You are listening to Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9. Femme Fatale is a discussion and dissection of the issues facing women in life, health, relationships, and the arts. I'm with Kat in the studio. I'm Gemma. And tonight we're interviewing Bridget, who is going to be talking to us about her book, Rubbing Mirrors. But first, Kat, what were we listening to?
We were listening to my favourite Florence and the Machine song, which is called Kiss with a Fist. And then someone I haven't listened to for a while, but of course is always dear to my heart, Annie DeFranco with Both Hands.
Very nice. So, Bridget, you wrote an amazing book, which is a really interesting kind of subversion on normal literature novels.
Yeah.
Tell us about your book.
Well, my book was set in Melbourne's lesbian scene as a reflection of my growing up in that scene, in Collingwood, set in a share house, and about the girls that people date, or I dated rather, and what it was like to be in that scene at that time.
Yeah, awesome. That's really interesting. But even particularly the way that it's written is so interesting. It's actually verse-like. Can you tell us about why you made that choice and why you did that, and what can we expect to get out of it differently as a reader compared to a normal novel?
It's written in poetic verse because I've been a poet since I was about, 11, and I wanted to do something a little bit different. And I wanted it to be provocative and punchy and sexy. And I think poetry is one of those forms that's able to carry so much through so little.
Definitely. And I've read the book. I think it's amazing. Some of the material is so confronting and powerful.
I was going to say explicit.
I chose confronting and powerful, but good choice of words.
Yeah, I remember being really blown away by it when I first read it, which was a while ago now. When did it come out?
2008.
Wow, time goes by really fast.
It does indeed, doesn't
now,
it?
Now, you published this independently.
Yeah, I did.
So how do you actually even go about doing that? Like, what are the challenges to trying to publish something by yourself?
Well, for starters, you're up against people's opinions of self-published work. So in the music industry, you can go out there and release your own album and everyone thinks you're awesome. In the publishing industry, everyone thinks you're a bit of a failure.
Oh no. Do you think that's because there's been a lot of marketing done though around the way independent music is framed, or do you just think it's a total down the line issue, music versus literature and the connotations around independent?
I think it's a bit of both. Like independent literature is still seen as a bit of a cop-out. Mm. And I think it's one of those things that has to evolve over time.
I respect your independent literature and its voice.
Thank you.
So you made that choice to go independent. Was it a hard road to take? And how did you make a book happen all on your own? What does that look like?
It looks like lots of very talented friends banding together. I have wonderful friends who are photographers who took the cover image, friends who are graphic designers who did the layout of the book, a friend who's a website designer who did the website.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And where do you go to have it printed? Do you just say to someone, can you print my book? Like, what do you do?
Well, obviously you do your research.
Yeah.
And we found a local printer. We wanted it to be on recycled paper, so that was a consideration. And we said, this is the book. And they printed it for us, and bam, that was it.
That's amazing. You're amazing. Was it really expensive?
It wasn't too bad. No, at the time, actually, my ex-girlfriend had crashed my car, and that insurance
money. We've all got a story like that.
Yeah, we certainly do.
That insurance money actually enabled me to publish the book.
Well, the universe has its way.
It does indeed, yeah.
That's a great story. That you should have put that in the cover.
Oh, that's fantastic. So, back to what I was talking about in terms of the subject matter, which Catherine Anne describes as explicit, and I describe as confronting and powerful.
Well, Bridget, would you say it's explicit or am I being a prude?
No, no, it is. It's meant to be explicit. So can I say the first line on air? I don't know whether I can.
Go for it.
So the first line in the book is, there are certain ways to fuck a woman, to make her scream, but the best sounds are the ones when she's in between language. The space where silence hangs, a mumbled incoherence, breathes its way in.
That's amazing. It's really hot too. Yeah. I'm blushing.
Yeah, I'm blushing as well. and when I said explicit, I didn't mean that as a judgment. I remember when I first opened the book, because I didn't know you then.
No, yeah.
I remember opening the book and reading that line and going, well, I wasn't expecting that from poetry.
Yeah,
it did. It really blew me away, especially I think it had been a long time since I'd read any queer erotic work that I felt the language was a really important part of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course it does.
Yeah, sometimes I think it's not so much about the language, it's about the plot or the content.
Mm.
But yours is very much language focused and the words are important, and I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah, it's incredibly beautiful. And I guess the way I say it is confronting is because I think explicit is confronting for most people.
Yeah.
And especially about, about queer sex.
Yeah.
It, for some people, it's really confronting. I don't find it confronting. I think it's hot and I'm still blushing. But for some people, that's really confronting. And so you've taken a really, a chunky subject matter that's really confronting and explicit and just literally dived in in this awesome way. I think it's powerful and amazing and moving.
And what influences you to make creative work?
I think it's really important to be able to express one's, I guess, essence. And for me, writing and performing has always been the way that I've done that.
That's really inspirational. And that's a really nice way of putting it. You definitely have a way with words, young lady. In terms of what influences you, is there specific women or key role models in the arts and media in the industry that kind of make you tick or make you think differently about your work or how you approach your work?
Yeah, well, I think as a poet, Dorothy Porter, the late Dorothy Porter, The Monkey's Mask, that changed my world. Both my auntie and my grandma actually gave me that book for my 16th birthday.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So you come from a heritage of women who are very informed and educated and, they've passed this kind of essence of, strength and inspiration down to you.
Well, I don't think my grandma knew it was a lesbian novel.
Oh, the beautiful naivety.
Yeah, exactly. But my auntie certainly did, and that's why she gave it to me.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
We look forward to talking to you more about that soon, and I can't wait to hear you actually perform live for us. what can you give us a sneak preview? What are you going to be performing for us tonight?
I'll be performing a bit of social justice. We'll move away from the erotica. You can read my book if you want, but this is what I'm into now.
Great.
Yes.
All right.
Good evening, and you're listening to Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9. During the show, you can text us on 0427 Joy 949, Facebook us at Femme Fatale. There's also a smartphone app for those groovy people who know how to use them. It's the free Joy app. Or you can email us at femmefatale@joy.org.au. Now, tonight we're talking to Bridget Lewis, the author of Rubbing Mirrors and an erotic lesbian poetry novel.
Well done, you got that right.
I also got it all out.
No pun intended.
Absolutely.
And just now we were listening to Fidelity by Regina Spektor and then Say a Little Prayer by the amazing Aretha.
So we've been talking tonight to Bridget about her novel, Rubbing Mirrors, and its explicit erotic subject matter. But we're going to talk to you a little bit. As you know, our show is about women in the arts and women in the media. Do you think women are fairly represented in the media, Bridget?
No, I don't. I mean, you just have to turn on the 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock news, and it's like a young, beautiful blonde bombshell with a middle-aged man. And that's before they've even said anything.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Do you think that the way that women in the media are being represented, do you think that's changing at all? Do you think there's a change in culture?
Oh, yeah, I think there's a, yeah, of course there's a change in culture. I just think it's a really slow change.
Yeah, that's true. And what about lesbian and queer women?
I mean, where are they? I mean, there's Ruby Rose, but what is she doing now?
Yeah.
And yeah, exactly. So yeah, total absence.
And as you know, our show is called Femme Fatale. We'd really like to know who your favourite Femme Fatale is and why.
It's got to be Angelina Jolie and Gia.
I can't disagree with that. Yeah.
I can't. Well, she's not. That's not my favourite, but I can't disagree that that she was pretty amazing. Yeah.
Hot.
Do you think Angelina Jolie is portrayed as a femme fatale outside of her films? Do you think that she's portrayed as a bit of a femme fatale in life?
Yeah, I reckon. Yeah. Crusading, passionate, sexy.
And she's uber sexy. And do you think, because one of the discussions we had in Kat in our opening show was about how femme fatale women, because they're overtly sexual or they're displaying their sexuality, that they're seen as essentially evil in some way. Do you think that that has happened to Ange in a way?
Well, I think she's always been portrayed as a bit evil because of the whole blood around her neck thing with Billy Bob.
And the tattoo.
No, and then she stole Jen's husband.
Yeah.
What a bitch. Oh, definitely. So the other question we have for you, which we're going to be asking all of our guests on Femme Fatale, is who is your favourite fairy tale princess and why?
Well, can I say Xena?
You can say anything you like, but you need to tell us why.
But technically she was a warrior princess.
Exactly.
Yes, she was.
It wasn't a fairy tale, but was it?
Well, you could say it's a myth, therefore it's a kind of fairy tale.
Why was she your favourite?
She's just so, she's...
I'm going to guess she's...
Sexy.
I'm gonna, yeah, thanks. That was my guess.
It's just all about that with you, isn't it, Bridget?
Well, yeah, it is, actually. But, you know, she's strong, independent, passionate. She does her own thing.
Yeah, and she's hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to say that Xena is one of my favourite shows ever.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know if she falls into my fairy tale princess category, but she's definitely in one of my categories. So we've been talking about your book, which is awesome, but what do you do now that your book's been published? It was in 2008. What have you been doing since then? And do you have any projects in the works?
Well, I have been doing this thing called poetry bombing. So have you guys heard of yarn bombing?
I have, and I've seen it all around Brunswick.
I have seen some yarn bombing. I'm going, what the hell is that?
But I'm guessing that poetry bombing isn't... Does it have anything to do with bicycle
Do you throw poetry at people?
No.
That would be awesome. Do you write it on paper and scrunch it up and throw it at people? I can do that right now, Kat.
Stop it.
No, it's not like that. It's you print out your poetry, you write it out, and you paste it up around in public space.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
And that is a poetry bomb.
So how do you deal with like people stealing your poetry? Like how do you deal with people stealing, you know, your work?
Or scribbling on it or ripping it down.
I didn't even go there.
I think it's about sharing what you do and sharing the art, full stop.
So the poetry and the verse in your book is, you know, mainly about women. It's about being a lesbian. It's about sexual experience, about it's eroticism. So how's your subject matter developed as you've, grown as an author?
Well, I think now I focus more on social justice issues and things like gender and race and just the construction of society.
And the construction of gender is something we definitely talk about on this show a lot. What's your view on, you know, and how do you challenge that in your work?
My view on gender? I think we should be people first and all those categories second.
Yeah. Well put.
Yeah. And how do I challenge that in my work? Well, you'll hear how I challenge that in the piece that I share with you.
Oh, exciting.
Can't wait.
So, speaking about your work, what's next for you? Do you have any projects that are happening at the moment or about to happen?
Well, I've just finished my PhD, so I'm in the midst of turning that into a book.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Amazing.
It's very exciting. So that's the other thing I do. That'll be on the limits of rationality.
Wow.
And I've also got a gig coming up next Thursday at Condor Arts Gallery in Fitzroy.
Poetry performance?
Yeah, spoken word.
So some of your more recent work?
Exactly,
and
yeah.
It's gender kind of political?
Yeah, gender political, yeah.
Amazing. I've actually had the pleasure of hearing Bridget perform live before at the WOW fundraiser in Northcote.
And oh, yeah.
You were absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And can I just say, the hall was absolutely packed with people and there was not like a word or a whisper. Everyone was absolutely captivated. Your performance was so strong and amazing. And the voice that comes through in your writing and the way that you work and the way that you write and perform is phenomenal.
Thank you.
So thank you for sharing your gift with the world, Bridget.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for receiving it.
Oh, look, I'm really excited about the fact that you are going to perform in a minute. First, we're going to listen to a song and then get yourself ready, Bridget.
Good evening. You're listening to Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9. Now, during the show, you can text us on 0427JOY949, Facebook us at Femme Fatale. You can download one of those smartphone app thingies called Joy, or you can email us at femmefatale@joy.org.au.
Yes, you can do all of those things. First up, we were listening to a great band called Blue King Brown, who are Australian and awesome and worth checking out, with their song Stand Up. And then after that, we listened to Glycerine by Bush, because basically I haven't heard it for a really long time.
And it's a hot song.
And I really wanted to hear it.
So on tonight's show, we're talking to Bridget Lewis, the author and poet. She wrote a book, a fantastic book called Rubbing Mirrors. It's a lesbian erotic novel, and we can tell you a little bit more about how you can get your hands on that book later on. But now we're going across to Bridget, and she's going to actually perform some live poetry on air for us. Now, be prepared, because her performances are so amazing, you will be astounded. You won't be able to talk for hours.
Yeah. Sit back from your radio.
No pressure.
Or turn it right up and relax. So tell us a little bit about what you would like to perform for us, Bridge.
Well, this poem is called Dictate. It's about all the social pressures that we have to follow somebody else's ideals about who we should be and how we should live.
Excellent. Now, I don't want to dictate how you perform your poetry or for how long. So when you're ready, just...
Sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry, please continue.
Are you done, Kat?
Yeah,
thanks.
Great. I'll laugh quietly in the corner.
Moving right along. When you're ready, just feel free to start. And when you feel like you've finished and you've come to the end,
feel free to stop.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kat.
Jesus didn't say Christianity was the way. Buddha never said shave your head or else. And Rumi spun in circles because it unraveled himself and found the universe. What you find is up to you, not an other to dictate the rules. And dictate always had it wrong. There's more than one Tate and Dick, more than one Dick and Tate. We just forgot to look for ourselves. Got stuck looking at someone else's book. Built a pyramid between us and forgot that we did it all with our own two hands. We don't need a kinship system. We need a skinship system. Forget that illegitimate sibling. Replace legitimate with love and take lovers, not de facto partners. Because while it's true we're all one part of a whole, we're seeking to see our own reflection, not partner another's shadow. Stop carrying your history. Start telling your story. Stop carving out the same lines of that tradition song and start spouting out the sounds embedded in your own lips. Take back your instincts from the mind and its institutionalized borders and break through all the bars you built to keep back the flow. Let your river run wild. Become the child you never grew up. Take that teenager by the hand and tell her you wanted to love with passion and not to mistake lust for a soulmate or a one-night stand. Because Peter Pan never loved Wendy like a man. And Wendy, she needs to receive her own love before she can give Peter Pan a lover instead of a parental figure. Because that's just number 3,554 of the ways we incarcerate ourselves. Build shells for our wounds of not being seen, not being held, of being screwed when all we wanted to be was held. And being held back when all we wanted to do was scream, na 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 na. I'm free, and I'm not going to let you or my mind shackle me. Because you see and I see, all this seesawing of language and mind games leaves us in a spotlight of doubt. Did he? Did she? And what does that mean anyway, quandaries? And I want honesty, even if it hurts my ego. I want you to tell me I walk like a masculine version of myself when I'm scared. I want you to tell me I mute the sound of my voice when I doubt my own authority. And I want to know when I channel my father's hate and inject it into you. Channel my mother's inclination for the victim state and subject you to it. Because I don't want to carry around anyone's shadow but my own. And it's hard enough to get through the day without tasting my own shit in the back of my throat. So tell me, Please tell me. When I reflect the wounds of others and not the love that exists before any of this spawned a cyborg state. Because it's true, I'm human, and I make mistakes. But don't mistake my humility for your front doormat. I can do backflips with my mind, rock worlds with my hips, and coerce moans with my fingers. Just like you, brother. Just like you, sister. With these words as my witness, and my witness as my waking state, I reposition this self and keep reminding myself. We don't need a kinship system. We need a skinship system.
Wow, Bridge, that was amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your amazing Yay. Voice and talent and writing. Woo! you are listening to Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9. Now, Bridget, a little bit more about you and your book. So you've got a gig coming up?
Yes, I do. It's part of a new spoken word night happening at Conduit Arts Gallery in Fitzroy.
Awesome. So what do you do there? And like, what happens there and who goes there? And is it a cool place and should we all go?
Yeah, it's a very cool place. It's a new gallery that's just opened up.
Awesome.
It's on Brunswick Street, number 83. It'll be a music and spoken word night. So there'll be four main acts. I'll be one of them.
Wow.
Along with three other awesome poets.
So what time is that, Thursday night?
8 o'clock till 11.
On the 19th.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling the 19th is going to be a lucky day.
Me too.
I've got this real feeling about the 19th. It keeps coming up in all these things that happen and, you know, everyone keeps talking about, you know, change and whatever. And the 19th keeps coming up. So I've got my fingers crossed for that being an awesome day. And I'm going to come along to your gig. Everyone else should come along too. And we will see you there.
Beautiful.
So if you want to check the details for that, just check out our Facebook page. It'll all be on there.
Connect with us via social media. And
yes, that's what I meant. Connect with us via social media.
We'll post the links.
And speaking of social media, there's actually a website, isn't there, for your book?
Yes, there is.
And you've got a blog.
I do indeed.
As well. So while you're busy connecting with us via social media, we'll have those details available for you as well. Bridget, thank you so much for coming in tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been wonderful.
And it's been great having someone perform live on air. So yay, thank you.
I think it's a rarity these days to have poetry on air. I think it's amazing. Thank you so much. On next week's show, we're going to be talking about fairy tale princesses.
I love fairy tale princesses.
I know, it's an amazing topic. Our favourite fairy princesses, why we love them, why we don't love them, and what we think it means to our concept of being women.
And gender roles and role models and all that kind of stuff.
All that exciting stuff. So coming up next, though, we have The Spirit Lounge with Birdie, Joy and Andrew. You're listening to Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9.
Good night.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.